Morning. Today's daf Menachos Kuf Gimel. We start today in the Mishnah Kuf Beis Amud Beis. HaOmer Harei Alai B'Machvas. I'm going to try to jar your memory a little bit. This takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. This is a long time ago. The Mishnah talks about a scenario in which a person makes a commitment. Now, as we know already numerous times, we've said this over time and again, bears repeating, where a person commit himself to a voluntary offering in one of two ways, either through Ned or Nedava. Neder is where he says the word a lie. And with the word a lie, what he means to say is that it's on him. He has an obligation to bring a carbon, and if anything happens to the carbon that he sets aside, so he still has to bring it. So he has an obligation with recourse. And so in the Mishnah scenario, he says the words a lie, and not only does he commit himself to a mincha, but he says b'machvas. Now, as we already know, we also discussed this extensively throughout our Masechta. In terms of voluntary offerings, there's numerous types of offerings, but there's a macheshes and there's a machvas. Now, the machvas is a shallow pan, right? Pancake, almost literally, and the macheshes is deep. It's a deep dish, and so he commits himself to the machvas. Behavi b'marcheshes. Now, what he does is he brings a mincha, but he brings in a macheshes. Or conversely, b'marcheshes behavi b'machvas. He commits himself to a macheshes mincha. And instead of making it in the deep dish, he makes it in the pan. So mash evi hevi, b'yidei chavasa lo yatzav. So as far as the mincha is concerned, so the Kohanim accept the mincha, will offer the mincha. The mincha is good, but he's not, meaning he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. He was on the hook, he committed himself to a marcheshes, and so by bringing a machvas, he has not satisfied his obligation. And the opposite, of course, is also true. If he said marcheshes and he brings a machvas, so the mincha itself is fine, but his obligation is not satisfied his obligation. Now, zu lahavi b'machvas. Now, let's say he says, instead of saying the word a lie, he says zu. And so, therefore, he makes a commitment, but it's not a lie, it's zu. And he points to the flower, and he says that this flower will be brought in a machvas. So, vehevi b'machvas. And instead of bringing this flower as a machvas mincha, he brings it as a machvas. Or b'machvas vehevi b'machvas, or is it psula? So the Mishnah says, under those circumstances, it's going to be possum. Why is it going to be possible in such a circumstance? So because now it's no longer upon him, but now it's on the flower. So that means that this flower is earmarked for a particular type of mincha. And so therefore, this flower cannot be brought as another mincha. Now, the obligation is not a personal obligation. He didn't say the word alai. So in other words, it's not that he's on the hook. It's that the flower is obligated to be brought for this type of mincha. So therefore, this flower has to be brought as that type of mincha. Otherwise, it would be disqualified. Let's say he commits himself to bringing a mincha to Isaron Big. Now, a couple of things over here in terms of understanding this Mishnah. One, and the next Mishnah as well. One is that in terms of the amount of flour, so there is flexibility in terms of how much flour to bring, but it has to be in units of Isaron. Right? And Isaron and a half, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah coming up, Isaron and a half is simply no good. So in other words, it has to be in units of Isaron. Additionally, in terms of how much flour, so it's a base minimum of one Isaron, and from there you can go upwards. Now in terms of the upper limits of how much flour to put in, so that's the next Mishnah. And let's hold off, not the next Mishnah, that's two Mishnahs from now. So let's hold off in terms of the upper limits. But in other words, he makes a commitment that he's going to bring Shnei Isaronos, and he's going to bring it B'Kli Echad. Good. Now, what does that mean? So it means, obviously, that he's going to bring a volume of two esronos. Now, bringing in one kli, so what does that mean vis-a-vis his mincha? So how many komets is he now obligating himself to bring? One komets. Ve'evi b'shnei kelim. Now, what he does is he takes and he divides amongst two kelim. Or, conversely, b'shnei kelim ve'evi b'kli echad. Or, let's say he makes a commitment that he's going to bring in two kelim, and instead he brings in one kli, ma'she hevi evi v'yidei chavasa lo yatsa. So, as far as his own personal obligation is concerned, it has not been satisfied. As far as the menachos are concerned, the menachos are fine, meaning they're voluntary offerings. Again, the obligation was a lie, was on him. Now, the obvious question is, well, why? Why wouldn't it be okay? Meaning, if all he did was just simply commit himself to two and brought in one utensil, or if he committed himself to one utensil and brought in two, so why has he not satisfied his own obligation? So Rashi writes, and Rashi writes over here in the Mishnah, Vehevi b'shnei kelim, vehevi b'shnei kamatzim, v'hu lo neder ela komatz echad. So over here, says Rashi, because in his commitment, if let's say, for example, he said he was going to bring in one, and he brought in two, so the problem now is that by saying he's going to bring in a one, so that means he's committing to one kmitza. And now he brought in two. In other words, two kmitzas. Va'od, furthermore, says Rashi, shemincha chaserihi, b'chol kli v'kli. And on top of that, by committing himself to one, so that means now that he has two isarin and one kli, by bringing it in two different kalim, so that's chaser, that's lacking. So in other words, so that's why vis-a-vis he himself in his own personal neder, he has not satisfied his obligation. Vis-a-vis the menachos themselves are fine. Okay, now, next case of the Mishnah, elu b'kli echad, v'hevi b'shnei kelim. V'shnei kelim v'hevi b'kli echad. So over here now, we're moving from neder to nedava. He points to the flower and he says that these flowers are going to be brought, and he either commits himself to one kelim or two kelim. He could do either one. But in other words, he makes a clear commitment. But again, it's not a personal commitment. There's no personal liability. He's just simply saying that these are going to be brought either in one or two. And then when the mincha is offered, it's changed, it's deviated. So ari lepsulim. So that's going to be disqualified. In fact, this is exactly the same as what we learned previously in the case of machvas and marcheshas. Being that he did not make it as a personal neder, but he made it as a nedava on the flower, and because he identified how the flower is going to be brought, so a deviation from that which what was committed towards the flower is going to be disqualification. Now the mission over here is going to seemingly give almost the exact same case, but I will highlight what the difference is in just a moment. He says a lie. So he says that he makes now a personal commitment, a personal neder, that he's going to bring shnei esronos lavi b'kli echad. So he says he's going to bring the two isaron in one keli. Good, that was his personal commitment. Vevi b'shnei kelim. And now he comes into the Beit HaMikdash and he brings the flower and he got the amount right, but instead of putting it into one kli, he puts it into two kelim. Okay, so far very similar to what we learned earlier. Amru lo, but in this scenario in the Mishnah, so they look at him and they say, wait 1 second. B'kli echad adarta. He krivan b'shnei kelim. So I don't understand. You committed yourself to bring it in one kli. And meanwhile, now you're bringing in two kelim. So under those circumstances, psulim. It's going to be disqualified. B'kli echad ksherim. But if he puts in one kli, it's going to be kasher. And then the Mishnah just goes over the flip scenario. I'll just read it first and then we'll explain after. Harei la shnei esrim lahavi b'shnei kelim. So in the flip scenario, so he commits himself two isaron and two kelim, vehevi b'kliyach, and he brings in one amr lo b'shnei kelim adarta. And once again, they look at him and they say, wait 1 second, you committed yourself to bringing in two kelim. He krivan b'shnei kelim ksherim. And so if he brings it now, if he changes it and moves it to two kelim, it's good. Nasal kliyach kishtei menachos and esarvu. However, if he puts it in one kli, it's like two menachos that got mixed together. And as far as what the halacha is in terms of two menachos that got mixed together. So, see earlier in the Masechta, much earlier, where we discussed that point. But over here, though, let's just clarify the basic idea of the Mishnah. Meaning, the first half of the Mishnah, when he says the words alai, so that's a personal commitment. So whatever mincha he brings, it's going to happen. One of two things are going to happen. Either it's going to satisfy his personal commitment, or it's not, and we'll just simply view it as an alternate mincha that's being offered, and he still has to bring his personal commitment. Over here, what exactly is going on in this part of the Mishnah where they turn to him, they're trying to correct him, he's defiantly saying, no, I don't, right, this is how I'm going to bring it, and now in this case over here, it's going to be puzzle, the mincha is going to be puzzle, so why should that be? So Rashi writes over here as well, and Rashi says, Amar lo b'kli echad nedarta, v'lo chash lo divrayim, v'ikrav b'mishnei kim psulim. Now over here he didn't say the word elu. In other words, he didn't say it as a nedava. He says a neder, but over here it's going to be a puzzle. And Rashi goes on to explain. You see, in the first part of the Mishnah, when he made a neder, and I'll just go with the easier examples. His neder was, let's say, machvas, and instead he brings a marcheshes. So we can easily say, okay, in other words, you know what the marcheshes is? It's just another mincha that he wants to bring. Meaning, we can easily say that there was no malintent over here. In other words, he committed himself to a machvas, and the fact now that he's bringing a marcheshes, another mincha. Good. And he's still on the hook for the machvas. But over here, explains Rashi, you can't say that. Because he made a commitment to one type of mincha. He comes in now, bringing another type. We're trying to tell him, no, this is not what you offered. And he says, I don't care. So in other words, so clearly what he's demonstrating is he wants this to serve as the satisfaction of his obligation. No longer can we look at it as a separate mincha. We now, because he defiantly is bringing this, even while trying to be corrected, so he's trying to bring it to satisfy his obligation. It won't satisfy his obligation. We can't view it as just simply another mincha, and that's why it's going to be Pasuk explains Rashi. They came into Amrulay. I'm just reading the Rashi, finishing the Rashi. They came into Amrulay b'kli echin adarta havalei lamem lehu ana l'shem neder achrina ma'isin nila. In fact, if he wanted to bring this as a supplemental mincha, that now is the time to have articulated. Oh no, this will just be another mincha that I want to bring. By him not articulating that this is another mincha, but rather defiantly bringing this as quote unquote his mincha. That's why it's going to be possible. Tzricha. Now the Mishnah over here is making a number of points, but using basically two different examples to make the same point. And in a classic form, the Gemara wants to know why the need for the two examples. Two examples of the Mishnah is where he commits himself to a machvas and he brings a marcheshes. He commits himself to one mincha, instead he brings two, and the converse as well. Why do I need all these scenarios? Utsricha. So as far as the second case of the Mishnah, I certainly understand the Chiddush says the Gemara. Look, if he says machvas and he brings marcheshes, that certainly cannot be a satisfaction of his neder. But if he, let's say, said commits himself to bring two isaron in two kalim, and he brings in one, or the converse, one kli and he brings in two, we can make an argument that it satisfies his neder, because even though he changed the number, but they are both machvas, which is what he pledged, or they're both marcheshes, which was what he pledged, and so therefore an argument can be made that he satisfies the obligation. And therein lies the chiddush in the second half of the Mishnah, in those cases of where he converts one to two or two to one. Because, again, going back to the Rashi and the Mishnah, because it's still not going to satisfy his obligation, because in his neder is one kamatz versus two kamatzim, etc. V'yesh min hanach mishum dekapalig lehu. And also we can reverse the argument as well. If the Mishnah only brought in the case of where he converted two to one or one to two, so there I'd say, well, look, what did he do? He took a mincha and he divided it, where it was once upon a time one kamatz mincha. Now he's turning it into a two kometz double mincha, so that's no good. But hasam de la palig bay aim alo. But in the first case of the Mishnah, where we went from machvas to marcheshes, had the Mishnah not stated that case, we could have made the argument, not so bad. In other words, did he get the requisite amount of flour? Yes. It's just, in other words, he just changed pants. So maybe one can make the argument that he still fulfilled his obligation. Tzricha, that's why I need the first case of the Mishnah. Okay, so first we start off in this brisa with an opinion which just sounds familiar because it's exactly what we saw back in the Mishnah. What's brought is brought, but he has not satisfied his obligation. Meaning in the first scenarios of the Mishnah where either he says machbas, he brings marcheshes, or vice versa, or he says one and he brings in two. So again, what we could do is we could look at it as a supplemental mincha, but he still is obligated to bring his own mincha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af yidei nidra na miyatza. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, he has fulfilled his neder. Now, this position of Rabbi Shimon, again, this takes us way back. And if you recall back in the beginning of the Masechta, so we had Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon says that really the truth of the matter is when it comes to a mincha, unlike a karban, see, with a karban, one size fits all. Meaning, when you have a karban, so what kind of karban is it going to be? Is it going to be an ola? Is it going to be a chatas? Is it going to be a shlamim? So there, the kavana and the articulation that's said during the shechita is really critical. But when it comes to a mincha, you see, you are going to say whatever you want to say, but ultimately it's going to go into a certain type of kli, especially when talking about the machvas versus the marcheshes. And so therefore, the determinant of what it is going to be simply what kli you put it in. So if you put it in a machvas, by definition, it's going to be a machvas. And if you put it in a marcheshes, so by definition, it's going to be a marcheshes. That takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta.
It's not the owner that puts it in the pen, it's the Kohen.
Okay, your point is correct, and still, Rabbi Shimon says that the determinant of what the mincha is the kli that it puts it in. Zu lahavi b'machvas, v'hatanya lo kiddushim kli shares. Now, what the Gemara now is struggling with is the kli shares that he brings it in. So why should it be disqualified? And in other words, is the kli shares going to be mekadesh it? So Amar Abai, and on top of that, let me just further further accentuate the Gemara's point. On top of that, the Braisa says lo kishim kli shares, meaning when being put into the quote unquote wrong kli shares, because again he said machlas and now he's putting the macheshes, so therefore the kli should not invest it with any kedusha whatsoever. Why are we using the term pasul as if it's pasul already when it goes into the kli shares? So Amar Abai lo kishim li karva va kishim li pasul. So Abai gives an understanding, one that pretty recently we've seen numerous times, and that is that even though we say the kli shares sometimes doesn't invest it with full kedusha seguf, but partial kedusha seguf, and that means to say that, yeah, in other words, will it give it the kedusha so that it can be offered? No. Will it give it kedusha so that it now has enough kedusha seguf with the sensitivity that it will become disqualified through all the psulim of Lina and Yotzei, etc., etc.? And Abaye says, yeah, to that degree, it's going to give it kedusha. So with that partial kedusha seguf and the inability to just simply take it out now and move it to another kli, so therefore that's the understanding of the Mishnah, becomes disqualified. Ve'amar Abaye lo shanu ela shekavan b'shas neder. Now, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, where he says alai lahavi es hazuba machvas or b'macheshes. So as far as the Mishnah is concerned, that's only if he's koveya this kli at the time when he made the neder. Avav b'shas afrash alom. But at the time of afrasha, no. What does that mean at the time of afrasha? Rashi writes on the top of the amud, b'shas neder amar hari alai mincha stam. In other words, when committing himself to the mincha, he just simply says mincha, right? And he doesn't identify what type. U'v'shas afrasha kavav amar zu avi l'shem neder b'machvas. Right, and then when he takes the wheat out, or when he separates now his wheat or the flour, so then he says, okay, now I want to do it in a machvas. So in other words, but at the time of commitment, he didn't say which kind it was going to be. So over here, the wheat is not so earmarked for one type of mincha. And how do I know that? Because the pasuk says kasher nadarta v'lo kasher afrashta. Because as far as the pasuk is concerned, in terms of locking in the mincha to a particular type, that can only come in at the point of neder. If, let's say, a later point in time, after he makes his neder, and his neder was a generic mincha neder, and then at a later point in time, he says, you know what, I'd prefer machvas. So at that point, it's a preference, but it doesn't lock it into being a machvas. Itnar nami, amar Rabbi Abba bar Chanina, amar Rav Asi, amar Rav Yochanan, loshanu ala shekavan b'shas neder, ava b'shas afrash, lo kasher nadartav, lo kasher afrashta. And the Gemara just simply quotes Rav Yochanan, who agrees with this point, that you only lock into a particular type of mincha if at the time of the neder you articulate the type of mincha it is. But if at the time of the neder you make a generic pledge of a mincha, and then later you want to try to identify what kind of mincha it is, so there could be fluidity. You're not locked into a particular type. Yeah.
It sounds
like it's going to be possible just simply by virtue of it being put into a different kli. Now, that's what bothered the Gemara. If you're putting it into a different kli, so just take it out and move it. And the Gemara's point is that no, because now it's invested with kedusha, not enough kedusha that it could be offered, but enough kedusha so that it could be pasul. And that's what, and now I can't. By virtue of the fact that it was supposed to be a machvas, and now you put in the macheshes. And we're not talking about the case of alai. Meaning, in the case of alai, so you could just simply say this is a supplemental mincha. But rather in the case of zu, where there's now a point of disqualification. And the Gemara just wants to know, why is that point of disqualification when I put it into another kli? Just simply take it out and put it in the correct kli. And that's where the Gemara's point is that, no, because by putting it into a different kli, now it's imbued with kedusha. Not full kedusha seguf, but enough. But understand, he says, in the Mishnah's case that the Gemara was discussing previously, he said machvas. He said, or he said marcheshes.
But hear what he says here, that he said, to quote the Rav, he said generic, he said...
That's not the Mishnah scenario. That's not describing the Mishnah. That's another halacha. Meaning, the Gemara's point is that if he didn't say it, so then it could. You're saying it should default into a solus, into a mincha solus.
Says here is, uh,
Okay. In other words, right. In other words, I don't know if it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara, and I don't know any better. Okay, you know, I could say it simply like that. Okay. On to the next mission. On Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. This mission also should sound familiar. Shades of this mission we discussed earlier in the Masechta, and the person now makes a commitment. He makes a commitment to bringing a mincha, and ha'omer ha're'alai mincha min ha'sa'orim. But however, this person is slightly confused. He makes himself a commitment to bring a mincha, but he says he's going to bring a mincha from barley. Now, there is such a thing as a mincha from barley, but they are the exceptions and they're not the rule. The two minchas that come from barley is one, the sota, so her mincha is going to be a barley offering, and two, the omer. And that mincha is also going to be a barley offering, and those are the exceptions. Outside of that, every other mincha is coming from wheat and can only come from wheat and not from barley. So over here, he's trying to make a voluntary offering from a barley mincha, and there's no such thing. And so basically what we're going to do, and we're doing this now for first half of today's daf, is that we're going to try to entertain, what do you do when a person makes a statement and it's just simply incongruous? The first half of the statement is, I'm on for a mincha, I'm on the hook for a mincha. And then the second half of the statement is from barley. Well, there's no such thing as a mincha from barley. So what do you do with that statement where clearly the statement cannot exist in its totality? Can we break the statement up? And if we're going to break the statement up, do we look at the first half of the statement? Do we look at the second half of the statement? The two statements cancel each other out. So there are a number of possibilities. So let's start with the Mishnah, because that's where we are right now. And the Mishnah has a clear position. So the Mishnah says, okay, so he's on the hook for mincha, but of course a correct mincha comes from wheat, so he's on the hook for a wheat mincha. So says the Mishnah. Analysis of the Mishnah is going to come up in just a moment. Kemach yavisolas. Now let's say he says, I'm going to bring a mincha from kemach. Now kemach is flour, but it's not fine flour. And menachas has to come from fine flour. So again, it's an incongruous statement. Because he says he's on the hook to bring a mincha, but he's saying that it's coming from kemach. But a mincha doesn't come from kemach, it comes from solas, fine flour. So yavi solas, so good. So in other words, congratulations, you're on the hook to bring a mincha, and the mincha that you're going to bring is a solas mincha. Velo shemina, velo lavona. The person says he's committing himself to bring a mincha, but you know what? No oil, no lavona. Now, again, it's an incongruous statement because every voluntary mincha comes with lavona and comes with oil. Yes, it's true, it's out there. There are minachas that do not come with oil, but that's the minchas chote. In other words, but a standard mincha comes with oil. So by him saying that he's going to be bringing a voluntary mincha offering, and even though he's declaring no oil, so I got news for you. You're going to be bringing a mincha, and you're going to be bringing it with oil and with lavona. So,
just because he said the mincha first.
Again, analysis is coming. We didn't give analysis yet. So, chatzi isaron, yavi isaron. And let's say he commits himself to bringing a half isaron. And, okay, great. Congratulations. You're on the hook to bring a mincha. But there's no such thing as a mincha from a half isaron. So, that's right. So, you're going to be bringing a mincha now from a full isaron. So, yavi isaron shalem. Isaron o mechza. The person makes a commitment that he's going to be bringing a mincha of one and a half. So we don't have halves as far as the mincha is concerned. So yavishnayim. So once again, so we say to him, good, you're going to be bringing now a mincha, and it's going to be constituted of two isaron, not one and a half. That's the minchas chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. And it's a full isaron then to be divided in half, where half is offered in the morning, half is offered in the afternoon.
Rabbi Shim, aren't all these cases basically the same?
I mean, yes, yes. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Shaloni is Nadiv, Kederachem is Nadiv. Now Rabbi Shimon says in all these cases he's going to be exempted because this is not a correct neder. And being that it's not a correct neder, so therefore the neder does not take effect. Now, yes, yes. I'll say yes to that as well. Amai neder pitzchalimahu. And so the Gemara's question over here is, I don't understand. In all the cases that were registered in the Mishnah, so you have a neder, but you also have a Pesach. Now, the word Pesach over here in our Gemara maybe does not exactly mean what a Pesach normally means. When we talk about a Pesach in terms of Nedarim, so if you go back and you remember back in the day when we learned Nedarim, so the Pesach meant that basically, if I would have known at the time when I made the Neder, X, Y, and Z, I wouldn't have made the Neder. So you go to a Chacham, you give him the Pesach, you give him the out, And he processes the information. Oh, you know what? If you're right. And he's matir the neder based on the Pesach. Over here in our Mishnah, when the Gemara says, Hari Pesach imo, the term over here is kind of almost like a borrowed term. We're using the term a little bit more loosely. It basically means he makes an order and immediately he says, cancel that order. Right? In other words, if he's putting in an order for a mincha, and then he says barley, well, again, it's ridiculous, meaning there is no mincha from a barley. There is no voluntary mincha from barley. And so can we understand that when he says barley, he's basically saying cancel that order? Or all the other cases in the Mishnah, which basically bring us to the same point. Right? When he says he's going to bring a mincha without oil, well, there's no such thing as a mincha without oil. So once again, isn't he basically saying cancel that order? So how do you understand the Mishnah where we take the incongruous statement and we ignore the second half as if the second half wasn't said, but the second half was in fact said, and why aren't we viewing the second half as a cancellation of the first half? Okay, so there are going to be two basic approaches amongst the Amoraim. Amr Chizkiah Hamani Beishamahi. Damri Tfos Lashon Rishon. So the Gemara says, okay, that the question is fantastic, and here's what we're going to have to say, says Chizkiah. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of Beishamai. Beishamai says, Tfos Lashon Rishon. That when a person makes a statement of incongruity, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first half of the statement and we're going to just simply ignore the second half of the statement. Second half of the statement is basically a retraction of the first half. Okay, that's great. But in terms of a statement, the first half of the statement, I'm going to be on the hook for a mincha, he's on the hook for a mincha. Statements that are made afterwards, even if they could be interpreted as cancellation, Rabbi Shammai says we ignore them. How do I know this about Beit Shammai? Did none. So we turn to a Mishnah in Nazir. The Mishnah in Nazir, Harini Nazir min Agrogris. The person feels he's going to enter into a spiritual height. He's going to become a Nazir. And he says, I plan on being a Nazir. And that's it, I'm swearing off figs. And everyone around looks at him and says, really, that's interesting. That has nothing to do with being a Nazir. Figs, okay, you almost got it. And a Nazir does now commit himself to not eating a fruit, but the fruit is grapes and grape product. But what figs has nothing to do with a Nazir. So when a person makes a neder and commits himself to being a Nazir, swearing all figs, so or min advela, press figs, so Beit Shammai armim Nazir. So Beit Shammai says, congratulations, he now is a Nazir. And again, so here you see very clearly Beit Shammai says, tfos lashon rishon. And the second half of the statement is just simply ignored. So Beisila or Mimeno Nazir. And Beisila says, no, he's not going to be a Nazir. Mm-hmm. Meaning that because we have to take the totality of the statement, and according to Beisila, the second half of the statement is a cancellation of the first half. And so therefore, he's not going to be a Nazir. So according to Chizkiah, we have a Mishnah here in Menachos. And yes, it's going to be a challenging pshat in that it's time it's a Mishnah. But what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take the Mishnah and assign authorship of the Mishnah to Beit Shammai and not to Beis Hillel, because it fits in with the position of Beis Shammai, that of Tfos Lashon Rishon. Rav Yochanan Amar Filo Tema Beis Hillel. And the second approach of the Amoraim, Rav Yochanan, says no. Our Mishnah could be going in line with Beis Hillel. But Omer Ilo Aisi Odeh Sheino Drinkach, Lo Aisi No Dekach, Elakach. And our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where it was a misunderstanding, with a quick clarification. Meaning he says he's going to bring a mincha. Okay, great. And then he says, and it's going to be from barley. And we look at him and just a little bit confused. Did you know that there's no such thing as a mincha from barley? But did you know that mincha comes from wheat? Oh, he says, oh, thank you for the clarification. Yeah, that's what I meant. I meant wheat. So in other words, the Mishnah is talking about a scenario in which it was a small misunderstanding with a clarification. And so therefore, our Mishnah is going like Beis Hillel. Meaning, enachinami, if there was no clarification, if we just were left with the incongruous statement of mincha and barley, so then enachinami. So the second half of the statement would be a cancellation of the first half of the statement. But by virtue of the fact that we seeked clarification and he provided us clarification, yes, I did mean wheat. I thought barley was acceptable, right? I overheard someone else bringing barley. Meanwhile, it was either the sota or the omer. So, and quickly he says, okay, but I'm committed to wheat. So under those circumstances, he's going to be obligated, and that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Now, Gemara continues to analyze both of these viewpoints of the Mishnah. Now, Chizkiah makes the following qualification. In our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that he's going to be on the hook for a mincha, that's only if he says the words mincha from barley. But if he says mincha from lentils, so then no. Now, to which the Gemara says, no, of course not. There's no such thing as mincha from barley, and there's no such thing as mincha from lentils. Now, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. This is the same chizkiah that we just saw moments earlier. Michti chizkiah kaman amal shabaitik bei shamai. Bei shamai mishum tfos lashon rishon hu. Mali min asorim, mali min ha'adashim. I'm so confused, says the Gemara. Didn't chizkiah just a moment earlier say that our mishnah is going like bei shamai? And for bei shamai, what is the key element? Tfos lashon rishon. Well, at that point in time, whatever he says after the words, I'm on the hook for a mincha, whatever he says afterwards is nonsensical and simply ignored. What difference does it make whether he says, I'm bringing it from barley or I'm bringing it from lentils? It shouldn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. But Chizkiah says it does. So the Gemara says, but how does that fit in with Chizkiah telling us just a moment earlier that our Mishnah is going like the Shita of Beis Shammai? So Hadarbe. So the Gemara says, well, upon further review, Chizkiah said, I'm wrong. Our Mishnah is not going like Beis Shammai, our Mishnah is going like Beis Hillel. Meaning Chizkiah eventually capitulated to the position of Rabbi Yochanan, that the correct way to understand the Mishnah is that there was a clarification which was sought and provided. Now, and on my time, Ahadarbe. Now, why did Chizkiah retract? Why didn't he say that our Mishnah is going like Beis Shammai? So, Amar Rava Masisa Kashisa. Because upon further review of the play, so what Chizkiah realized is, no, our Mishnah is not going like Beis Shammai, and I'll tell you why. Because our Mishnah was really careful about the example that it gave. Because my Yuri didn't need Mincha Min Asorim, listening Min Ha'adashim. If the whole point of the Mishnah was Tfos Lashon Rishon, so then what the Mishnah should have done is give the silliest example it could have. You see, barley is not the silliest example, because barley, as I pointed out already a number of times, there are minachos with barley. Again, a voluntary mincha is not made up of barley, but at least it's out there. But when it comes to lentils, that's literally the silliest thing you could say. There's no such thing as a mincha from lentils. And so if our Mishnah wanted to highlight the point of Tfos Lashon Rishon, and that whatever he says afterwards is totally negated and ignored, so then give, not the example of barley, but give the example of lentils. And that really would have demonstrated the position of Tfos Lashon Rishon. Why did the Mishnah choose the example of barley? Because it must have been there was a misunderstanding, with a quick clarification. Meaning eventually he agreed with Rav Yochanan, that's the better way to understand the Mishnah. Now, as far as an understandable mistake, barley is an understandable mistake. But lentils, of course, is not. Okay. So therefore, Chizkiah says that our Mishnah is talking about where he said barley, not lentils. And the reason and the distinction is because by barley, it is a mistake that we can understand and seek to clarify. Of course, not lentils. Rav Yochanan amar afilu min ha'adashim. Now, Rav Yochanan says that he's going to be on the hook for a mincha even if he says the words adashim. Now, to which the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Now I'm even more confused. Rav Yochanan earlier taught us that how to understand the Mishnah is that there was a small misunderstanding. We seek clarification. We receive clarification. And so, shouldn't Rav Yochanan basically be agreeing that if instead of saying barley, he said lentils, that of course that's a cancellation of his neder? So, michti, Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara asks exactly this question. Mechti, Rav Yochanan, Kaman, Amr, L'Shemaitik, Beis Hillel. Rav Yochanan explained that our Mishnah is going like Beis Hillel. Where the case of the Mishnah is that there was a small misunderstanding with a clarification that was provided. U'Beis Hillel, Mishnah, D'Tayihu. B'Sarim, Tayi, B'Adashim, L'Tayi. I understand the mistake that was made regarding barley, but what mistake could there possibly have been if he said lentils? There is simply no such thing. It is so nonsensical. Of course it retracts from the original statement. So the Gemara says, L'Dvarav, D'Chizkiah, Kamerlei. So the Gemara says, no. What Rav Yochanan's point was not, he was not making a point vis-a-vis his own position. Vis-a-vis his own position, he understood the Mishnah that there was a misunderstanding with a clarification, and fine. And the misunderstanding can exist only in the case of barley, but not in the case of lentils. Good. What Rav Yochanan was doing is that he was rebutting the position of Chizkiah, and remember, Chizkiah himself went through a change of thought. He originally thought that the Mishnah was going like Beis Shammai, and then he reverted and he said, no, the Mishnah is going like Beis Hillel. So when the Gemara is saying that Rav Yochanan was addressing Chizkiah's position, it means Chizkiah's original position. The Mishnah is going like Beis Shammai. At my time, Ahadart Bei Mishum De Lo Ketani Min Adashim. Dimalomi Bai Kamar. Look, as far as you and your retraction, and you wanted to change your understanding of the Mishnah. Why? Because the Mishnah chose the example of barley and not lentils. So Rav Yochanan says, look, if that's your entire position, well, I can explain. Look, in the case of lentils, where again, it is the silliest thing that one could say that he's going to bring a mincha from lentils because there is no such animal, or in this case, no such mincha. So the Gemara says, so in the case of lentils, I could easily view that as a rejection. And maybe what the Mishnah is doing is, it's providing for us a bigger chiddush. Meaning the reason why the Mishnah chose barley as opposed to lentils is because lentils is too obvious a point. And maybe the Mishnah over here wanted to give us a more subtle point and therefore a bigger chiddush. And that's why the Mishnah chose barley over lentils and not because of what you suggested. Because it has to do with a misunderstanding and a clarification. So in other words, Rav Yochanan says to Chizkiya, if that's the whole reason why you're changing your position, your argument in of itself is not foolproof. Kufkim Amud Beis, the top of the Amud. Amr Ziri. Lo shana ala da amr mincha, v'alo amr mincha lo. Now as far as the Mishnah is concerned, and we are basically going to be taking his first statement and putting him on the hook for that first statement, he has to articulate the word mincha. But if he does not say the word mincha, if he just simply says mina sa'orim, so then, even according to our Mishnah, we can ignore it.
There's no lashon rishon.
So right. So the okay. So to which the Gemara says, and now it's not clear. Is Ziri now in this qualification? Is he working with Chizkiya's understanding that our Mishnah is going like Beit Shammai? Is he going like Rav Yochanan's understanding that we're seeking clarification? Not perfectly clear. Rashi offers over here two pshatim in the Gemara, but from Rashi's first pshat in the Gemara, it seems like we're working with Chizkiya's understanding of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is following like Beit Shammai. Take a look at the top Rashi. Because since he opened up with the word mincha, lemincha gemur kemachaveh. So he means that he is offering, he's committing himself to a mincha, a full-fledged mincha. Ava amar mincha sa'orim, mincha sa'orim kai. Upata delek lemem tfas lashem rishon. So, but if he says not mincha by itself, but he says mincha sa'orim, so that in of itself is going to be basically a cancellation, even according to our Mishnah. It sounds like from Rashi that he's operating within Chizkiya's understanding that our Mishnah is following the viewpoint of Beit Shammai. In any event. So, Amar Ziri Loshana Lo Damar Mincha V'Alo Amar Mincha Lo. Yosef Rav Nachman V'Kamal Lo Hashmaita. So, Eitzve Rav Lo Rav Nachman. So, on this, the Gemara now is going to point out, doesn't seem like the Mishnah reads that way. Because, think of all the cases that we had in the Mishnah. And as Danny pointed out, there are numerous cases in the Mishnah that are making the same basic point. So, let's consider. Kemach Yavisolos. So, he says Kemach. Now, did he say the word Mincha over there? So, Lav Delo Amar Mincha. So it doesn't sound that way, but the Gemara just simply rebuffs, and the Gemara says, lo, damar mincha. The Mishnah is not giving us the full articulation of the neder. The Mishnah was just simply highlighting the absurd part of the neder. But in other words, included in the neder was the word mincha. I'll give you another example. Below Shem and Lavona. What about when, in the case of the Mishnah, where he said no oil and no Lavona? So Yavi Shem and Lavona. So Chatzi, I'm sorry, my lav delo amar mincha. So again, isn't the case of the Mishnah where he didn't say the word mincha? Lo, damar mincha. And again, it's going to be the same point again and again. The Mishnah is not giving us the full neder as was articulated. The Mishnah is just simply highlighting the absurdity. Chatz yisar and yav yisar and shalem. My love, damar mincha? Lo, damar mincha. So the Gemara says, yahachi ema seifa. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go all the way now to the last case of the Mishnah where yisar and amechsa, yav yishnayim. In the last case of the Mishnah, he said 1.5, and now he's committing himself to 2. The Gemara says, let's think about this case carefully. Kevin Damar Mincha, now he said the word Mincha because, again, we keep saying that in the Mishnah, that really the totality of his statement opened up with the word Mincha. So he chayav lebi yisaron. Well, once you say Mincha, you know what a standard Mincha is. A standard Mincha is 1 yisaron. Ki amar chatzi yisaron lo klum kamar. So lo klum kamar hu. So the Gemara says, so when he says chatz yisaron, so basically, can we just simply ignore it? So the Gemara says, lo tzricha da'amar, harei alai mincha chatz yisaron v'yisaron. So the Gemara over here just tweaks the case of the Mishnah just a little bit. Here's what he pronounced. He said he's going to be on the hook for a mincha chatz yisaron. Now let's stop right there. So he says mincha and he says chatzi yisaron. Now again, the absurdity is there's no such thing as chatzi yisaron. But he said he opened up with mincha, which means now that he's committing himself to a full mincha, which is one yisaron. And then, after saying the word chatzi yisaron, he says vi yisaron and an yisaron. So what is that? So he's already committing himself to one yisaron, so that is a second yisaron. Dekevin da'amar mincha yichayev lebi yisaron. So by saying the word mincha, that's full. That's a full yisaron. Chatzi yisaron is just simply ignored. And then kihal da'amar yisaron. And when he says yisaron again, ma'isi yisaron achrina. So then he has to bring another yisaron. Ihachi, Rabbi Shimon Poter, shlois nadiv kederacham is nadvin. So the Gemara says, okay, now with that stated, so then we get to the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon argues on all the cases of the Mishnah. Amai, so why should that be? Or let's add an important word over here, af bigmar dvarav adamatfis. The reason why Rabbi Shimon argues in the Mishnah, explains Rava, is because Rabbi Shimon is aligned with Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi is of the position that when a person makes a statement that's incongruous, so what we do is we have to take the totality of the statement. Meaning we don't take the first half, we don't take the second half, but we take the totality. And when we look at the totality of the statement, and we realize that the first half and the second half can't coexist, so therefore, it basically falls apart. The whole statement falls apart. And so therefore, when Rabbi Shimon says that once he adds the words chatzi saron, so regardless of the fact that we could try to make sense of some of the statement, we can even make sense of the first and last part of the statement. But according to Rabbi Yossi, which Rabbi Shimon is aligned with, we always have to take the totality of the statement in mind, and once it can't exist as a total statement, it therefore just simply decomposes. Okay. A person can commit himself to bringing 60 isaron and puts it in one kli. Now, imamar hare alai shishim echad. Let's say he commits himself to a mincha as large as 61. So then maybe shishim b'kli echad v'echad b'kli echad. So what he does is he takes 60, puts it in one, he takes one, he puts it into a second. Shekain, now before we get on to the next part of the Mishnah, so in here in this Mishnah what we're talking now is the upper limits of a mincha. Meaning a standard mincha is one isaron as a base minimum, like we've said already numerous times. That's the base minimum. Now we're talking about the upper limit. What is the upper limit of a mincha? Of one mincha. So we're learning together now in the Mishnah that the upper limit is 60. 60 is the number. That's the shear. Now, if a person commits himself, as we just learned in the Mishnah, to 61, fine. He's committing himself to 61 Isaron. But he can't put that into one kli. It's too much for one kli. And so therefore, what you do is just simply now, the understanding when you say 61 is that it's going to be divided into two. Now, again, I'm just, you know, I'm a more balanced person. At least I think I am. And so I would have taken it and divided into 30 and 31. But the point, it doesn't matter how you divide it, meaning it just simply can't go into one.
Where did 60 come from?
That's a great question. I'm happy you asked. So the now, why is 60 the upper limit of a mincha? So interesting. Everyone's in agreement that that is the upper limit, and now it's just a question of why. And the Gemara is going to have, the Mishnah is going to have a debate amongst the Tanaim in terms of why it is the upper limit. So Shekinat Tzibra may be biyam tavarishon shechag shechalios b'shab b'shishim ve'echad. So dayolei yachishu pachos min atzibor. Echad. We know that if we can imagine what would be a day in which we were going to bring in the maximum number of obligated isronos of flour. And so, Sukkos, day one, when it coincides with Shabbos. Now, I'm not going to go through the math right now. Look at Rashi. Rashi takes us through. In other words, it's just basically all you need to know is just a knowledge of how many karbanos are brought on that day, how many esronos of flour come in conjunction with all the karbanos, and you'll see, it works out well. It comes out now that it will be a total of 61 isaron of flour that's being brought that day. Since you see that there is a day where the tzibur brings 61 as a maximum, now again, maximum, I say maximum over here as an obligation, so then you see that the number for the tzibur is 61. Well, you're an individual, you're not a tzibur. So you know what? You should reduce yourself. Now, everything is in units of Yisaron. So if the maximum is 61, so an individual should bring 60. That is the Tanakhama's viewpoint. Really interesting way to see it. The Amar Rabbi Shimon, V'alo Elu L'Parm V'Elu L'Kvasim, Ve'ein nevloim ze'im zeh. Rabbi Shimon says, I'm so confused. How could that possibly be the model of what is the maximum number? In other words, consider the fact that, you know, some of them are coming in association with a par. Some of them are coming in association with a se'ir. We know the ratios are not the same. We know, we already learned earlier in the Masechta, when you have nesachim whose ratios are not the same, some of them operate at a ratio of 1 to 2. One part oil to two parts flour. Some operate with a ratio of 1 to 3. I'm sorry, one part flour to two parts oil. Some operate with a ratio of 1 to 3. One part flour to three parts oil. So, and they can't be mixed together. So you're telling me that because of the nesachim that are offered on Sukkot, on the first day of Sukkot, that coincide with Shabbos, that's going to establish the maximum of a single mincha offering by one person? I don't understand. Ela ashishim yichom li balo. So rather, it must be a different reason altogether. And so says Rabbi Shimon, the reason is because 60 isaron of flour can distribute with a log of shemen. Now you'll remember earlier in the Masechta, we had this debate. Do you, in terms of a person making a commitment to make a mincha that goes above one isaron, meaning if it's one isaron, it's one log shemen, that's easy, that's simple, that we know. If you are committing yourself to two isaron, do you have to match it with two log, or can you bring one log? And if you remember earlier in the Masechta, we debated this very point. Let's assume for now, I think it's a little bit easier to assume, but it is an assumption. Let's assume for now that we are going to always stay with one log of shemen. So if we're staying with one log of shemen, so how much flour can be the maximum limit that could distribute and blend together with one log of shemen? And Rabbi Shimon says that's what the Chachamim figured. And that's why 60 becomes the maximum. So Amru lo shishim nevlam v'shishim v'echad ein nevlalim. So Rabbi Shimon says that is why 60 becomes the maximum. So Amru lo klamidah shel Chachamim, I'm sorry, Amru lo, I missed an important point. Amru lo. So this is a Chachamim now trying to rebut Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint. How can you tell me that this is all a function of what blends and what doesn't blend? So you're telling me Amru lo shishim nevlam v'shishim v'echad ein nevlalim? Really? In other words, 61 now becomes the tipping point? 60, oh, that blends. 61, oh, no, it's not going to blend. I mean, we're talking about statistically, we're talking about percentage-wise. How much more is 61 over 60? Now, of course, there's a numeric answer to that question. But in other words, the Chacham's point is, for that small amount, you're telling me that makes all the difference? Amar Lahem, Rabbi Shimon's response to the Chachamim is really fundamental. And the answer is, that's how measurements work. Meaning, whenever the Chachamim come up with a measurement, so that means now, this becomes the operating measurement. Anything less than that, even though you'll tell me from a percentage standpoint, what are you talking about? So granted, you're right. But in other words, but that's how measurements work. Call me the Chachamim Kain. Anytime the Chachamim have a mid of a measurement, that's how we understand it. Look, you tov on the mikvah. How much water does the mikvah have to have? 40 sa'a. Now let's say the mikvah has, all right, 39.9999 saw. Okay, I know, I'm using our math, but you understand the point. So what do you say? What's the difference? Okay, so we're just under 40 saw. So fine. So the tefillah should work, and of course we know it doesn't work. So Rabbi Shimon says that's how measurements work. Once the Chachamim give an amount, so therefore that is the amount. Anything, well, in other words, we're going in two different directions, but it's the same point. Meaning by a mikvah, anything less than that is no good. By a mincha, anything greater than that is simply no good. Fine. In other words, that's how measurements work.
That's the kind of established.
I mean, right. Now, as a point of real interest, meaning we'll stop here, tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Gemara. As a point of real interest, the Mishnah ends off where Rabbi Shimon's saying, kol midas chachamim kain. That's how the midas of chachamim work. Now, when we're talking about measurements, are measurements established by the Torah, or is measurements established by the chachamim? So we all know, the Gemara in Sukkot says, that halacha l'moshe mitzinai, shiurim are part of halacha l'moshe mitzinai. So how do you understand the Gemara in Sukkah, and our Gemara over here is saying that it's a midas chachamim. But I think the answer is very simple. I mean, I'm going to provide a really straightforward approach. And that is that, look, let's use tefillah as an example, tefillah b'mikvah. What does the Torah want? The Torah wants the entire body to go into the mikvah at one time. In other words, that's the shiur min ha-Torah. Well, how much water is that? Well, of course, it does really depend on the size of the person. But in other words, but for the average individual, how much water is in that? And for what the Chachamim are able to do now is take the idea and give that idea a unit. So in other words, okay, so that is that what the Torah is demanding is tefillah b'mayim, and what the Chachamim now are going to do is they're going to shape and measure and give express that in a number. Same thing over with a mincha. What does the Torah want? The Torah wants oil and flour to be combined. Okay, at what point are we hitting the breaking point? What's the limit where it doesn't combine? What the Chachamim are therefore able to do is provide a unit to that number. I think it's a simple way to understand the Mishnah.